The Lord's good, is he not? Amen. I want you, if you have your Bible tonight, to turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And we're just going to look at one statement that the Apostle Paul makes here and look at it throughout, in fact, the New Testament. Paul makes this statement a couple times, and then the Lord himself made this statement. And I want us to look at it in light of, you know, some of the things in the past. Now, I've probably spent a big part of the last 2 years, I would say, in my time in the pulpit, not only here but at different places around the world, in teaching on having faith in the love of God for you, each individual, having faith in the love of God. What do I mean by that? Well, having faith, a persuasion, a firm conviction, to be fully persuaded that God loves you regardless of you. That's just, you know, that's one way to put it. Regardless of me, God loves me. In spite of me, God loves me. You know, Jesus said in John 17 in his prayer, Father, I want them to know that you love them just as you love me. You know, and John later said in his first letter, 1 John there about in chapter 4, it says, we have known, I believe it's verse 16, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. You know, and you just, sometimes, you know, you hear that and you wonder sometimes. I know just, you got to continually build yourself in that area of God's, having faith in God's love. And it's just like any area of faith. Just because you were walking in the reality of that yesterday doesn't mean you're in the reality of it today. You continually feed your faith. Faith is something that has to be continually fed. So continually feed yourself on the fact that God loves you. Well, and when Jesus said that in John 17, he said, Father, I want them to know that you love them just as you love me. I mean, that enough is just a statement that I don't know that we'll fully understand that throughout eternity. It's going to take, you know, just spending time with God. But then he went on to say, for you loved me before the foundation of the world, concerning himself. Now put that together with what he said. He said, show them that you love them. Everybody point at yourself right now. He's talking to me. He's talking to you. God loves, say it with me. God loves me just as he loves Jesus. Amen. Well, you don't know. God loves you just as he loves Jesus. Now, how many of you could probably quote John 3:16? For God so loved the world. Are you part of the world? All right. If you're in the world, God loves you. And God made the decision to love you before he ever created anything, before the foundation of the world. Therefore, his love is not determined upon our actions. Can't be affected by it. All right. Now, his love for me is not his approval of my lifestyle. It doesn't mean he approves my lifestyle. All right. Because in the fact that he for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would have everlasting life, right? See, the belief part is still active there. Well, once we are, and in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is really digging in those first 14 verses. I mean, he really digs in to the realities of what Jesus did. That phrase, before the foundation of the world, is in there again. And that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That God planned our redemption. Jesus carried out the redemption. And the Holy Spirit is the seal of our redemption. It's all right there. I mean, those first 14 verses. And then he gets to verse 15. And that's where I want to pick up and look at this phrase that here just recently, to be honest with you, jumped off the page of my Bible to me. And made me to start thinking about some things. And I want to share some of those things that as I've dug into that tonight. He says in verse 15, and I'm going to read from the King James Bible and maybe take some these and thous out as I go, okay? He said, wherefore I also, after I, now notice this, heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Now, Paul had ministered in Ephesus. He'd ministered throughout this entire region. But he's writing back to them now. And he said, and he goes on and talks about how he prays for them. Okay? And he says, I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. And that got me wondering, has anyone heard of your faith? I was asking myself that question. It appears to me that our faith is to be famous. Our faith should have a reputation. Our faith should be known. I've heard of your faith. All right. Now, the thing about faith is, it's never without its power twin, if you will, love. I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints. Our love should be famous. Our love should have a reputation. We should be known for our love. So, you know, I started asking myself that question. You know, is my faith considered, is it known? Is my love for people? What kind of love? The God kind of love working through me for others? Is that agape love that I'm supposed to have? Is it known? How well am I? You know, remember, my faith and my love and my faith in the Lord and my love unto all the saints doesn't cause God to love me any more or any less. That's not the issue here. See, well, that's our foundation. He loves you. But now that he loves you, what are we going to do? Because we're going to see tonight that this is vitally important, our faith and our love. Because quite honestly, you know, you read in the Bible that talks about once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're a new creature in Christ. Isn't that true? We're new creations. And heaven is now our home. We belong to heaven. We're now here on this earth as what? Ambassadors. Well, an ambassador represents the country that they're from in a foreign land, if you will. And we are Christ ambassadors. I'm in the earth, but I'm of heaven. Praise the Lord. I know, you know, sometimes it's interesting when, as I've worked in Kenya over the years, that you ask somebody from Kenya where they're from and they won't tell you where they live. They tell you where they were born. That's where I'm from. So where are you from? All right. And they say, well, I'm from Game. And it's spelled G-E-M there. G-A-E is the A sound. I'm from Game. Oh, yeah, I thought you lived in Kitale. Well, I live in Kitale, but I'm from Game. Well, now, as Christians, we live on this earth, but we're from heaven. You see, so there must be a reason we're still here. Because we're welcome in heaven right now. Now, none of us are in a hurry to get there. No, come on now. I mean, but there's more than just, you know, having fun and eating pizza. Okay, or whatever it is your favorite, you know. I had me a good ribeye steak for lunch today. I'm suffering, you know. You know, just because I had one doesn't mean I'm not going to have another. Not tonight, probably, but you know. You know what I'm saying? But that's not why I'm here, to eat ribeyes. You think there's a call? Is there a ministry gift of eating ribeyes? I haven't known anybody that's walking in that yet, but that's kind of a good one, isn't it? I hadn't thought about that. Well, let's look at a few other scriptures. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Look what he says there. Is our faith heard of? Is our love famous? Amen. You know, I spent here a week, last week, I was with one of our graduates, a young pastor. And we had stopped to get something to eat and that, and somebody, this older gentleman, hollered at us as we were getting out of the car. And I didn't really, be honest with you, I was headed into the restroom. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes you got to go, and I had to go. So I was headed in, and so the fellow I was with, the young pastor, Chad was his name, he kind of walked over to the guy and see what he wanted. And by the time Chad got done with him, he'd prayed for him. The man was having trouble hearing, and he testified he's already hearing better by the time he got done with him. Amen? Well, see, that's love. That's love in action. That's love that is famous. And this young pastor, in fact, he's becoming known for this type of thing. Not only in his church. Now, he told me, he said, in our church, he said, be honest with you, brother. He said, I'm not calling up people. We're not having healing lines or anything like that. He said, I'll just be ministering along, and the Lord will say something, and I'll call somebody out. He said, we've had deaf people here. We've had blind people healed. We've had cancer, cancerous growths fall off of people. We've had all kinds of things happen right in the middle of the services. Well, their faith is that faith and the love for people at that church is getting known, and people are starting to come there that have need. People are saying, if you just get over to that church, you'll get helped. Is our faith and our love famous? Colossians 1, verse 4 here, Paul said, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints. Here again, he says that to the church at Colossae. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul again, you know, Paul in Ephesians and Colossians, here in Thessalonians, talking about how he prays for them. And that one of the things that that comes up in his prayer here in verse 3 says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. See, and here's something interesting. Now, Paul was looking for evidence that they were who they said they were in Christ. And that evidence was their faith in the Lord and their love for people. Praise the Lord. Now, one reason, if we're not careful, you can teach faith and you can become very selfish about it, that it's, well, just believe God, you know, get all your needs met and, you know, all those type of things. Well, actually, Jesus already met all of our needs, but we receive them through faith. Praise the Lord. But the greatest expression of faith is in loving others. Now, how many of you have had to use your faith to love somebody? Come on now. Don't point at people. No elbowing. Patting your spouse on the head there. I saw that, but I'm looking the other way. Praise the Lord. Look at this same chapter, our same book, chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Notice what Timothy gives Paul a report. Now, in verse 6, 1 Thessalonians 3, 6. But now when Timothy came unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith, the old King James says charity, which is agape, so love, brought us good tidings of your faith and love, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Now notice, Timothy came, and Paul said, well, how's it going in Thessalonica? He said, let me tell you about their faith and their love. Amen? You see, there's no greater reputation that we can have as a Christian than to be known in our faith, known of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and our love for people. Come on now. Now think about, you know, Pastor mentioned that yesterday he had put on Facebook that it was Brother Hagin's 99th birthday, you know, his father. And it was interesting. How many of you were here at the memorial service in 2003? All right. And there were basically six main speakers that outside of the family. And every one of them got up and spoke. And I didn't hear one comment about how great amount of faith Brother Hagin had. I heard everyone comment about how he walked in love. And I read what one fellow Rhema graduate and minister who ministers all over the world talked about that, how he was blessed to graduate from school here and then later on to get to kind of have some fellowship with Brother Hagin. And he said the characteristic that affected him above, you know, there was a couple things there, but he said it wasn't his faith, it was his love for people. He said, I never heard him speak badly about anyone. Never heard him talk about anyone. He walked in love. He loved people. That's how you become a giant of faith. Now, unfortunately, he got to be known as the father of the faith movement. It's too bad he didn't get, he really wasn't known for what he taught on the most, and that was love. I mean, I heard him. To me, have you ever read the book that he has out there, Love, the Way to Victory? That's the, to me, that's the best book on healing that we have ever written. It's a tremendous book. All right? Look in Philemon. Uh-oh. Philemon. Now, Philemon only has one chapter, so you don't really write one, but you do if, sometimes if you're going to write it out. Philemon. Now, here Paul is writing to Philemon and concerning someone who used to be a servant of Philemon who had escaped and had. And after escaping, Paul had gotten him born again and working. And so Paul writes back to Philemon and is basically asking him, look, if he's done anything to wrong you, would you please put that on my account? All right? But notice what he says concerning Philemon here in verse 5. He said, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Hearing of your love and faith, which you have. Now here we had seen three examples where they talked about a church's reputation. But here we can see this individual had that same reputation. You see, a church isn't going to have this reputation if the members and the individuals of that church don't have that reputation. All right? Praise the Lord. Now look at Revelation chapter 2. Is your faith famous? Is your love for people known? Now, a lot of times, you know, we give lip service to that. Oh, well, yes, I love people. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But, you know, people so much outside the body of Christ, they don't want to hear about it. They need to see your love. Right? James said, you know, if you say you have faith, that's great. He said, I'm going to prove to you I have faith. Watch what I do. Amen. And what he did was helped people. That's what he said. Now, James, you know, James is interesting as the brother of the Lord and the pastor of the church there in Jerusalem, I believe. A lot of evidence, I think most evidence points to him being the author of the book of James. Working with the local church body brings that aspect out. Because why? I think James experienced some of the same things we experience in our day. People pat themselves on the back for their great faith. But James is like, you say you've got faith. Let's see some action. Faith without works, what did he say? Is dead. Is dead. See, that's why he said, look, when your brother or sister, even he said, even in the family of God, if they're naked and destitute, don't tell them, be warm, be filled. Put a coat on them and feed them. And give them some groceries to go home with, right? He said, that's faith. Now here in Revelation 2, in writing concerning the church at Thyatira, verse 19, notice what this is the Lord Jesus speaking here to John. And he said, write this to the church at Thyatira, verse 19. I know thy works, and he says charity there, which is agape, love. I know your works and love and service and faith and your patience and your works. He mentions works twice. And the last to be no more than the first. In other words, you work together equals. You're not arrogant and do anything like that. He did have some things to talk to him about. But notice what the Lord Jesus said. The church at Thyatira, their faith and their love was famous in heaven. Jesus speaking from heaven said, I know your love and I know your faith. Amen. Why? Well, evidently, you know, Jesus was an expert at recognizing faith, was he not? Remember when the four guys let the guy down through the roof, what did the Bible say? Jesus saw their faith. What about the centurion? He said, I have not seen so great faith, no, not in Israel. The woman with issue of blood, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Jesus recognized faith. He could point it out in an instant. He heard faith. He saw faith in action. And he says to them, I know your faith. But not, it wasn't separated. Notice their love was there also. All right? Now, let's look in Galatians chapter 5. I'm sorry. Galatians chapter 5. There are many, many scriptures in the New Testament where faith and love are mentioned in the same verse. We're just looking at a few of them tonight. But there are many. Also, the word believe. You know, I did find it interesting in reading 1 Corinthians 13 in the Amplified Bible. And there's that one, in one verse it says, love believes the best of every person. And as I was reading, I was thinking, now that's interesting. You know, and the thought crossed my mind, is it true, would it be true, that if we are walking and living and exhibiting the divine love of God in our lives, doesn't it just follow then that we are also walking and living in faith? He said, love believes the best of every person. It's easy to believe when you're in love. Just naturally. But think about that. When we're talking about that God loves you no matter what, having faith in the love of God, if you know God loves you, are you ever going to be scared to come to him? No. You're just naturally going to talk to him all the time. Because why? I know he loves me. See, knowing God loves you doesn't cause you to go away from God. It causes you to get closer to God. Well, praise the Lord. Look here in Galatians 5, verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision. See, it's not the keeping of the law. It's not anything outward there. He talked to them that it's by the Spirit they were set free. But notice what does count for something. But faith, which worketh by love. Other translations say, but faith which is expressed in love. But notice here again, faith and love working together. But faith which works by love. Now I'm reminded here, and I didn't have this in my notes, but I'm just reminded. 1 John chapter 3 says, we love him, God, because he first loved us. That's why it's so important. I cannot love you with the love of God until I am convinced that God loves me. We teach that, you know, we teach that in our ministerial training classes, and that ministry flows from the life of the minister. Well, for the Christian, love for others has to flow from the love that you have received. Because you can't, listen to me, you cannot create an ounce of the love of God. It's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. It's the gift of God. I can't create any of it. I can't make any more of the love. It has to be from what's in me and what I have received from God. And when I'm walking in the revelation and living in, when we talk about walking, we're talking about living in a reality that God loves me no matter what, then I can then take that and extend that to you. I can now love you. And this love is beyond, again, it's that kind of love that loves people no matter what they do. And that freaks people out. They don't know what to do in the face of that kind of love. I've had people just, they can't even find words. Well, why would you do that? Because God loves you, and I'm here as his representative. Amen. Now, have any of you ever worked for somebody and they sent you to do something for them? Now, how many of you know, if you're smart, you did it with the same care for the client or whatever that they would give if they were there, right? Because if you didn't, you weren't representing them. You went and represented yourself. So you know, how would God love this person in this instance? You see, that's the question I have to ask myself. That's why Paul said in Philippians, he said, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in all wisdom and understanding, knowing how to love. One minister said, loving others is doing what's best for them at the moment. You see, God knows how to do that every time. How do we do that? Well, we have to be led by the Spirit of God. All right, 1 Corinthians 13. Now, here's the thing about faith and love. They are alive. They are living. I don't mean they're people, but God is love. But you understand what I'm saying. I'm not. But they are living spiritual things. Verse 13, 1 Corinthians 13, 13. And now abides faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Amen. You know, I'm convinced based on the scripture we're about ready to read after this, that this, before Jesus comes back, we in the body of Christ are going to get this, because it's what's going to have to happen for us to evangelize this world. And that is, we have to learn how to love. Really love. Okay? Now, listen. Love is not an absence of discipline and not an absence of correction. Love is not tolerance. But yet love loves you. You can be breaking my heart and the love of God in me can still love you. Now, my natural human love, I'll just be honest with you, it will run out. You know? And if I don't catch myself, I might run you out. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's natural human love. But the love of God, it says it never fails. It never comes to an end. And you can be breaking my heart by what you're doing. I'm still going to love you. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to condone what you're doing. And that doesn't mean I'm not going to say what you're doing is wrong according to the Word of God. Amen. Love is the least politically correct thing you could ever encounter. Because love will get right up in your face and say, I love you no matter what you've done, big boy. Now get away from that. No, just hangs on to you. You can't get away from it. You just keep loving them. You know. Just keep loving them. No matter what they do. I know years ago, I can't call myself a youth pastor. I filled in as a youth minister. Have 4 years of experience in that. Felt like 40. But because, you know. But I learned a valuable, valuable thing. And this has helped me not only in my life, but it's helped me in dealing with people in the church and dealing with students at the school, doing just different things. I noticed this about youth and teenagers. Man, you went to a conference or to a camp. Woo, you know, they came back there higher than a kite, you know, woo, you know, all kinds of stuff, you know. And, you know, there's like other Christians. Christians go to, you know, come to camp meeting, woo, you know. And man, I'll never forget. When I first got into, you know, these things, I was surprised by what people did in this so-called faith group. You know, people like, you know, I saw people stomp on their glasses and be led out of the auditorium. Thinking, well, faith, I'm going to make God, you know, you're not going to make God do anything, first of all. You know. And, you know, how would you know if your eyes are healed? You can't see out of your glasses anymore. Be like, oh, well, I guess I don't need these. Not, but I learned this from working with those teenagers and, you know, that their life is like up and down and up and down and up and down constantly. That's teenagers, right? For the most part. Teenagers have been teenagers since the beginning of time, I think, all right? Up and down, up and down. Well, here's what the Lord shared with me. He said, look, you just stay steady. Because whether they're going up or coming down, they'll know where to find you. And I found that's true about God. That's a God characteristic. He, no matter what I'm doing, he's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And he loves me the same no matter what. So if I'm going up, I encounter his love. And coming down, there's his love. Amen? Now God said this. He said, I'll make the crooked path straight. I'll fill up the valleys and knock down the mountains. And you can go across on flat, straight land. When you stay with him. Look at John 13, the Gospel of John. Hallelujah. There's a lot we can say about this. Now, you know, this is just any time that you read these things. John also said in 1 John chapter 5, his commandments are not a burden to us as Christians. It's never a burden to do what God said in his word. It's a joy. It's an honor. And I've just, hopefully you found this out. I've been at this 36 years. In 36 years, I found out God knows more than I do. Amen. His ways are above my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I might as well just do his way and think his thoughts. All right? Because he knows more than I do. I was actually sitting right down here at, in Broken Arrow, Kenosha and Elm Place. Not even Elm Street, it's Place. But 71st and Elm down here, as we call it most of the time. I was sitting there and I'd just come out of teaching class and I was thinking about, Lord, you're the first and the last beginning. And I've said this out loud. I said, God, I'm so glad that you know the beginning from the end. I'm so glad that you know the beginning. You know so much. And on the inside of me, I heard that still small voice of the Holy Ghost, not my spirit man, but the Holy Ghost on the inside. And I heard these words. Son, he said, I never said I know the beginning from the end. I said, I am the beginning and the end. And that changed my revelation of that. God, he is the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to stick with him. Glory to God. That tells me, that tells me this. It's not over until he says it's over. How many of you grew up with that kid that the game was never over till he hit it where he wanted to hit the ball? Because it was his ball and his bat, right? In his backyard. And we played till he was done. Okay, and that was fine. We just get to play more that way. Well, God is the ultimate. It's not done till I'm done. A lot of people have called it done. God's dead. God's not. if God was dead, you wouldn't know it. If God did cease to exist, boop, you'd be gone. You wouldn't even know it. He's upholding all things by the word of his power. All right, you find John chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus here speaking, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now let's stop there for a moment. I think the simplest definition, again, is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. How did Jesus love us? He gave himself for us, right? Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 say that. John 3, 16 says that. Other places. That God loved us by giving himself. Now, when he gave him, don't think at the cross. Him being born on this earth was him giving of himself to us. He laid aside. He never stopped being divine, but he laid aside that glory, that power of divinity to become a man like you and I. So that he could redeem us. And now that he's ascended to the right hand of God the Father, the Bible says where he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. He's still giving himself for us. You see. So he says, love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now look at verse 35. By this, see, by the way that we love one another, all, word men's in italics, so all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. And I want you to notice that. In fact, this was my lab sermon, my very first lab sermon at Rhema. And this would have been in the fall of 1983. I had Doc Horton as my lab teacher. And I preached this off of this verse here as the key to world evangelism. I started to see some things back then concerning this subject, that if we would just love one another, that we could win this world. Because this love never fails. It never quits. It always wins. And so if we'll just stay with it. But he said, love one another, first of all, to prove that you are my disciples indeed. Now, if there's, I'd say this, if there's one thing that the devil has been successful in the body of Christ, is in dividing us up and getting us out of loving one another. And in doing that, he's rendered us powerless to tell the world, come be like us. Why would they want to be like us? We fight over the silliest things. Amen. You know. We want to fight, you know, over whether or not the preacher's got a suit and tie on. Come on now. Or, you know, silly things. Just we fight and divide up over all kinds of things that don't matter. They're just personal preferences. What matters is, do we love one another unconditionally? Do we love one another the way that Jesus loves us? Now, have you ever thought about this? How does Jesus love us? With the same love he's received from the Father. Which is what? Before the foundation of the world. Decision already made ahead of time. So I don't even have to know you to love you. In fact, every stranger I meet, everyone, I already make a decision. I love them with the love of God. So I'm going to do what? What does love do? It believes the best of every person. Now, I know that's hard. That's hard. Some of you may have to quit watching television. Amen. Quit watching the news. That's good. Quit reading some of the things you're reading. You know, quit watching political ads and all that kind of stuff. Because it's hard. Amen. Because everybody wants to tell you how horrible that person is. And they may be. But regardless of that, God, Jesus shed his blood for them. God loves them before the foundation of the world. So I have no right not to love them. Amen. See, when I said, Jesus, be my Lord, I gave up my rights. That's a whole nother sermon right there. But I just want to challenge us tonight. Let's let our faith and our love for people become so famous that people can't help just come in here, be around us. They love it. They love seeing that Rhema sticker on the back of your car. Oh, praise God, there's somebody that'll love me. There's somebody that'll help me. There's somebody I know I can talk to. There's somebody that knows how to pray according to the Word of God. There's somebody that knows God. They act like they know God. Amen. Let's get that reputation. Hallelujah. I think we've worked too hard trying not to have a reputation. I think the Bible teaches us we need to have a reputation. How has this political correctness worked for the church? Has it helped? No. Hadn't helped at all. Let's invade this world with the most radical force that's ever been seen, that ever could be, and that's the unconditional love of God. Let's just invade this world. Let's just take it out there. Tomorrow on your job, make a decision right now. That ugly person I have to work with, that person that is mean to me, that person where I have to walk, we got to walk on tippy toes. I don't know how they're going to be today, you know. Just make a decision. You're going to love them no matter what they do. That, because when you do that, no matter what they do, doesn't affect you. I found this. People who are walking and living in love have a joy about them. And they have a greater peace than other people. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for the love that you have to us. And Father, our love for you and our faith in you is a response to that love. We love you because you first loved us. We have faith in you because you believed in us first. You believed in us so much that you sent Jesus to the cross. He shed his blood. We know it's your will because he asked only that your will would be done. And Father, he rose from the dead victorious. You raised him and seated him as your own right hand in heavenly places so that we who believe might be seated there with you. We thank you, Father, for your great love wherewith you loved us. We can love one another and we can love the people of this world. We give you all the praise and glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Now we got just a couple things we need to do. Prayer team can go ahead and come. We are going to go ahead right now and receive that offering up for Pastor Hagen's birthday coming up here in a couple weeks. And so if you want to text to give 28950, you can type in Hagen. I'm going to do mine that way. I know this morning it took a little time for that to go through, but it did go through. But if you want to give an envelope there, put it in an envelope. You can write it down in the other space there. If you want to give by the kiosk, you can do that. If you just want to put some cash in there, that'd be wonderful. We want to be a great blessing to the man of God who has given himself to the Lord, and because of that, his assignment is to give himself for us. So we want to be a great, well, it's working really fast, and I've already got mine back. Praise the Lord. So if you want to do that tonight, let's go ahead and pray and believe God. Father, we thank you tonight for Pastor Hagen. Thank you for his life. As he gets here, Father, here in a couple weeks, and to this special day for him, Father, we ask that he will have the greatest year of his life in ministry this next year. Give him strength in his body. Give him wisdom, Father, and understanding to make all the decisions that he has to make as the head of this ministry. Father, we thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Go ahead and give if you will. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you go ahead and serve the folks, that's wonderful. Thank you for your generosity ahead of time. Hallelujah. I know that while we're waiting on that, I'm going to let them go ahead and get that settled so they know there's no moving around. How many of you have someone that you know or someone that your friends that's been affected by the flooding that took place in Louisiana? Any of you? Yeah, we've got... I know out of our own church here, I know that Jason Holland is down there. His mother was affected in Baton Rouge. And so there's others. So be in prayer concerning that. As far as we know, there was only one RMAI, Ministerial Association member, that was affected. And their house lost everything. But the church was didn't get water in it. So they were thanking God for that. But I saw that one of our incoming students had gone back home because her family was affected by it, and she said just driving the streets, just nothing but piled up furniture and all up and down the roads. That's all, just a tunnel of everything's ruined. You just have to strip the house down and hopefully you can start over. Big issue there is that it was outside the 100-year flood plain, and it hadn't been flooded, they're calling it a 1,000-year flood. That's what this is. Only once in 1,000 years would something like this happen. And so they didn't. Most everybody did not have flood insurance at all. So just pray and believe God. If God speaks to you, about something, then you can just see how to do it. But let's be praying for all those folks down there. Amen. I know several churches, even Lafayette over in that area, folks there couldn't have church services because of the floods and that. When the water floods interstates, you've got Interstate 10 and 12 are both closed down now. Praise the Lord. The Lord is sufficient. He's more than enough, and he's going to help people through this all. Amen. All right, connection team, if you find those first-time guests, we want to give them that special gift that was prepared for them. Let's give our first-time guests a big old hand clap here tonight. Praise the Lord. We're glad you're here. Come on back. You want to come, especially on a Sunday morning, hear our pastor's minister and hear what God speaks to that man of God. Amen. We're so glad that you're here. All right, rest of us, let's stand up. That might help them get out where they need to go anyway. If you need prayer for anything tonight, come on down. Ladies on my right, your left. Men on my left, your right. If we got everything covered, Pastor Marvin, we good and everything good? All right. Tell one or two people, God loves you and I love you, and then you can be dismissed tonight. Amen.